If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 31, and I know that this is a familiar text, and it's hard to not preach on this over the course of a number of years, and because everybody preaches on it, you're hearing a number of messages throughout this day today. And so, but what I want us to do is I just want to reflect on some tremendous biblical principles and give a challenge to every mother here and every mother-to-be in the future. And we understand that this passage of Scripture, if you were to almost get it, you could give it as a theme far above rubies, and you could almost put on here the perfect mother. And so a lot of these areas are challenges to us. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we're growing. And we're changing the pattern of our living. And so let's look at a number of things this morning, just briefly, and just to have an opportunity to exalt. This is the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And how could anything be set in order any better way than the exaltation of a godly mother. Amen?
Amen?
And so in Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband thus safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And when we think of this, the idea of a ruby is mentioned in verse 10, her price is far above rubies. We look at all the precious gems and diamonds and rubies, amethyst, just a multitude, emeralds, all of these precious jewels. But it is interesting throughout history that the jewel of kings is the ruby. It is precious from the standpoint it is rare, and in its clarity, it is absolutely invaluable. And so what God is saying is the challenge to every woman that is a mother here for you to be the most godly woman you can possibly be. Amen? Is that the goal? That's what God wants for everybody. And so we're striving for this. Now, when you see all the characteristics of this woman, another thing I was thinking of, should I call this far above rubies? I could call it superwoman or the perfect woman, all kinds of things. But in this area, these are virtues that we're to strive for. These are parts of character that God wants every woman, every mother, every grandmother to have. And so precious is as far as worth is concerned. And so she, precious first of all, in her worth as a wife in these first three verses. And that is, her worth is found in her character. A good name, the Word of God says, is to be chosen rather than great riches. And so she has a good name. She has a good testimony. There are certain individuals throughout 40 years, 41 years of ministry this coming June the 10th. And as I contemplate all those years of ministry, flashes across my mind some of the most godly women that I've ever met in my life. And they have characteristics that are mentioned here, and we're going to expand on several of the ideas, but it is a joy to see godly women raising their families for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a love for the Lord themselves. They're known to have a love for the Lord. They don't have to go around and say, I'm a godly woman, because they're known as godly women. And I'm telling you what, that's the greatest thing that a mother can give to her husband, and that is a good name, being the best wife you can be. And when others look at you, they look at you as a person who is a godly woman. And not only this, precious in her worth as a wife. That's the first point. Precious in her worth as wife. her worth is in her character, and then secondly, her worth as far as her financial competence is concerned. The Word of God goes on to say, the heart of her husband thus safely trusts in her. Well, why does he trust in her? Yes, the moral virtue part of it. So that he have no need of spoil. And the second important and vital area that we see here is the fact that she is financially competent. When it talks about the trust in this area, the trust focuses on this area of as far as financial integrity is concerned. So that he has no need of spoil. She's not going to destroy the home, be a spendthrift. Here again, reflecting upon over the course of years of ministry and dealing with marital problems, money is probably the number one area that causes marital difficulty. I know that you can't believe that, but money is the number one area causing great difficulty in marriages. And sometimes as we go into our counseling with young couples before they get married, go into this area as far as finance is concerned that causes turmoil. And it is a tragedy to see when when an individual, husband or wife, but we're talking about wives here in her testimony, this kind of a woman here that is mentioned here is an individual that does not waste the resources of the family. That is what comes in. She does not spend overly. She is very cautious about what she does spend. She's conservative in her spending. She not only does not waste the family resources, she is conservative in her spending. She's a coupon queen. She's the one who knows where the best deals are. If she needs an item, just as long as she doesn't go to too many places for too many special shopping knockouts as far as having just a great price is concerned. And so she is conservative in her spending. She knows how to get a good deal. And I tell you what, my wife is not here today. The reason she's not here is she spoke at a banquet on Saturday. And I don't want her traveling all night to get here to be in this service. But I hate my wife not being here. But then I thought maybe I can get a few tidbits in while she's gone. And so, but I would say in this area, and allow me in certain areas to just praise the Lord for the wife that he's given me and the mother that she is to our children. Amen. She has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing in this area. As far as conserving is concerned, she is so careful with finances. I handle the finances. I was pressing at one time in a degree in accounting until I just said, "Can you see yourself sitting at a desk crunching figures? I'm sorry, Brother Bob, that is not me." I took 1 year and I said, "That's enough." And I went into architectural engineering before the Lord got a hold of my life. I was still in the math here. I still love math, Brother Bob, but I just, crunching figures, that was not in it for me. And so I just rejoice in the fact that what the Lord has done in basically sparing me and eventually giving me a good wife. And there came a day when a lot of the ministerial aspects become real heavy. And I handled the finances for a good portion of our married life. And then there came a time when I said, "Hon, I just need a little bit of your help." And she took that thing. And at first, she about killed me the first 2 years. And but once she got a hold of it and she saw she wasn't good. She was spectacular. She was spectacular. And I think that the Lord blessed us more during the time that she took that area over. Now, listen, there's a bunch of men here that ain't no woman going to tell me what to do with my finances. But there's some that are more competent than what you are. And, you know, wisdom is, and when you'll see, this woman was a pretty sharp woman. She knew about finances, didn't she? And so, financially competent, not a waster of the resources of the family, conservative in spending, and content in the area of finance with what God has given. I want to thank every Christian school teacher here. Listen, I'll tell you what, you are our precious people. More highly educated than the average, extremely disciplined, and then sacrificial as far as the giving of your life is concerned. And I know this. I know that you have to be careful to clothe your children, to make sure that there's food on the table and all the rest of this stuff. And I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for yourself, because your calling is from above. And what you're giving right now, the Lord is going to repay you in eternity. I thank God for your sacrifice. And that you have, you have to have a pretty good wife to keep things in financial order, so that the kids really can have as much as they can, but learn the same area of being content. Amen? Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And so her worth in character, her worth in financial competence, and her worth in her compatibility. Her wonderful ability to be a blessing to her husband. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Two aspects, and that is she has a wonderful ability of being a blessing to her husband. She's a joy to be around. One of the things that I love most about my wife is she is a laugher. And that is, and even in the offices, she's works a couple days in the office. Her and Debbie and Kathy just have a good time. They're laughing. I love to hear laughter. How many like to hear laughter? What a joy. And then many times I reflect upon the fact that that my wife will be in the kitchen and my children and grandchildren know this. That grandma is always laughing. She's just a fun person to be around. She's not a grouch. And I thank God for that, amen? I'm the grouch. No. No. I'm not Oscar the Grouch. I'm Bill the Grouch. No. This goodness continues and has continued throughout our married life. It is not just a 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year thing. For 41 years, I've had the joy and privilege of living with a woman that is a blessing. Living with a woman that is consistent in her love for the Lord and for the love for her family and love for me. You know, there's only really, in all those 40 years, there's only two times that I got her goat so much that she did something that I had to laugh about. One time was when, and I deserve this, by the way, I'll tell you that right now. But I remember when I was in graduate school and things were extremely tight, and we had our first child, I was cutting lawns. I had another great job that the Lord really gave me. Basically, any hours I came in, all I had to do was clock in. And back then, they paid me about twice as much as the average for this job was concerned. And so, there were times when things were real slim. And if you want to cook a meal, ever cook a meal for the Egger dolls, do not cook hot dogs in sauerkraut. I think that that's what they gave them at the German camps when they starved them to death. But I remember that we had literally weenies and sauerkraut for a whole week. And I came home and I said, "What's for dinner?" And guess what it was? Weenies and sauerkraut. And our wedding cake. You know the thing, you put that top in there and then you put it in the refrigerator for 10 years and then you pull it out and then you eat it. And so all during the course of that week I had weenies and sauerkraut and leftover wedding cake. And then, so at the end of one meal, I said, I don't care what it is. I don't care if we have rice. I don't care what it is. I do not want Winnie's and sauerkraut again. And I don't want this. I don't want this wedding cake anymore. And she was real quiet and went into the kitchen, contemplating, collecting her thoughts. And she came back and she took the cake and she smushed it in my face. I didn't get mad. I just sit there like. There's one other time that I really got her goat. I don't even know what it was about. But there was a front doormat. And I got her enough. So she took that doormat and she started shaking it at me. And I just died. It probably made her a lot madder. But we both started laughing, you know. But the consistency of living together, working through things, is a tremendous blessing as you love each other and realize that there's going to be some tough times you have to go through. But the Lord is with us. And the determination is that this goodness is going to continue throughout our married life. That's a determination. Your determination should be, I'm going to make this the best marriage I can possibly make it. The best home I can possibly make it. Amen? Secondly, and that is, she is precious in her work ethic in the home. Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 22. In verse 13, the Word of God says she's a hard worker. In verse 14, the Word of God says that she's a good shopper. She is like the merchants' ships and bringeth forth her fruit from afar. She is conscientious to the needs of her family and to her household. In verse 15, she riseth up while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And that is, she took care of not only her children, but there was a sensitivity to those individuals that were even her servants. She loved her whole household and took care of the needs of the whole household. In verse 18, the Word of God says she strives for excellence. She strives for excellence. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. It is excellent. Her candle goeth not out by night. This was the idea, and that is, you had to have a discipline almost. Remember this, back then they didn't have alarm clocks. And so there had to be the discipline or the ability to get up at a certain time to make sure that there was oil in the lamp so that the candle never went out. And so this individual, this wife, had the ability of waking up at the right time to go and make sure that the pot had enough oil in it, or the little clay pot, a lot of times it was lit with a wick out of it, so that that light would be continuing on. And it was because of her testimony and because of her work ethic and because of her discipline. The candle goeth not. She's a disciplined person. She is beneficent to the poor and needy. And Proverbs and all the Word of God has so much to say in that verse. 20th verse, she says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor and she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And has a compassion for others. And one sees the needs, and I tell you what, I think that there's several here that I know of this in this room, that and you know these individuals too. Because just like little Jenny has a heart to be a blessing to other people and to give a little card of appreciation and love, there are individuals that have a unique ability in this church. They see and they sense the need, and there are individuals who are cooking meals constantly for other people. There are individuals that gift it when they hear of a need. Sometimes they will sacrifice themselves or their own resources, and they will give to those individuals. And I'm telling you what, that is a blessing to every pastor. And so she is beneficent to the poor and to the needy. And then finally in this area of Precious and her work ethic and her home, she cares for the comfort and for the health needs of her whole household. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. That isn't during inclement weather when a lot of times individuals didn't have the correct garment or the correct covering at night. She was an individual that made sure that her household had the proper clothing and the proper comfort. And just looking after even the most minute needs of the family. And so Precious, she is precious in the fact that in her worth as a wife, she is precious in her work ethic in the home, and she is also precious in her wisdom. She complements and enhances the testimony of her husband. She complements. And that is, I tell you what, even in ministry, and I want you to know this, in the selection of every pastoral staff member, one of the first things I look at, Brother Jeffcoat, was I look, and my wife and I do not go out and hire a staff member without taking the couple out and having a meal with the couple and my wife being able to be there as well because she's discerning. And our individuals that we did not take on as staff members simply because we saw, I'm talking about young married couples at times. We saw the fact that they weren't getting along too well. And there was a contention that was there. And guess what? I don't need to babysit in the ministry. I want someone up full and running, amen? And the greatest thing, I'll tell you what, not one of our pastoral staff members does not have a love for his wife, and we've got great wives. Every one of us have a great wife. And so we rejoice in that, but that's a very important aspect of the ministry. Compatibility, the ability to work together and to work as a team so that the testimony of the wives, the pastoral wives, is that they love their husbands and they love their families. I thank God for that. Amen? And I can say this in observation and watching their lives and keeping eyes on how they're raising their children as well. And we've got so many that are just doing a fantastic job. And so she complements and enhances the testimony of her husband. She is a woman with good business sense. She's a good salesperson in 24. In verse 25, she's a woman of strong character. Strength and honorability are a part of her virtuous aspect. She's a trustworthy person. She is a woman that knows what to say. In verse 26, the Word of God says that she controls her tongue. Her tongue is ruled by the law of kindness. And so she not only knows what to say, but she knows how to say it. And that is, she says it in wisdom, but it is always done in kindness. Oh, if God would help us, whatever comes out of our mouth is kind. Amen? Speaking the truth in what? In love. She knows what to say. She knows how to say it. In verse 27, the Word of God says she knows how to handle the affairs of her home. And then finally, not only does she complement and enhance the testimony of her husband, but as well, her wisdom is rewarded by the praise that is given her. In verse 28 says, her children shall rise up and praise her, as well as her husband in verse 28. She shall be praised for her godliness in verse 30. And then in verse 31, she shall be praised for the works of her own hands. She has the ability because of her testimony, because of her kindness, because of her frugality, because of her fear of the Lord, to generate the kind of an attitude that brings praise to her. And who benefits from that? I've benefited all my life because of a great wife. And I know that she loves y'all. And I know that she loves me, and I know that she loves our children and our grandchildren. And whatever she does, she puts her whole heart into it. And so, therefore, today, I praise the Lord, and I praise her. And I praise every woman here today that has a good relationship with their husband, and they work together as a team, as God intended. Helpmate means exactly that. Two becoming one, working together. Wives, mothers, I challenge you. I challenge you to be the best testimony to the outside world, to your husband, to your children, so that God can be glorified. Amen? So that God will be glorified because He did not establish marriage to be a battlefield, but a place of peace and harmony and respite. Amen? May God help us to be the people we ought to be. And men, there's some things that maybe we could change a little bit, maybe even a lot, so that we would be the better encouragers. And I love that what it says about this in whole attitude, everything I say, when our children shall rise up and praise her. I think of the fact, one of the greatest reasons why is because they're just that type of a person is just a joy to be around. They're just a joy to be around. Laughter and joy and vision and strength of the fact, God can do it. How'd you like to hear that from your wife all the time? God can do it. And He can. The goal is Proverbs 31. Amen? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I'm speaking to the whole crew, though it is especially a Mother's Day. I'm first of all speak, mothers, are there some things that have been mentioned that need to be built into your life? Things that need to change so you can be better. And today, just in the shortness of this hour, you just say, Lord, help me to be better in the areas that have been mentioned in Proverbs 31. Would you just raise your hand? Help me to be better. Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen. Men, how many would dedicate yourself saying, hey, listen, I need to make it easier on my wife. I need to praise her more. I need to support her more. I need to be more thankful for what she does. And by God's grace and with His help, I'm going to do exactly that. Would you just raise your hand? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everyone standing to your feet, if you would, please. We're going to have an invitation right now. And in this invitation, we're going to invite you, if you have never invited Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, we have men and women that are waiting to show you in the Bible how you can be saved. You say, well, that message wasn't for me. I'm not a mother. I'm not a father. I'm just me, you know. Yes, but God wants you to be saved. And so now, today, this time, you have an opportunity to be saved. And so we invite you to come this morning and allow us to show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. Those who have never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, we invite you to come because that's obedience. You need to be baptized. You need to obey the Lord. It's not us. It's not what we do as a Baptist church. We'll say Baptist church, everybody had to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. We do it because it's a testimony to the reality of the decision you have made. And then if the Lord's dealt with your heart and say, you know something, there's some areas I need to start making progress in. Be a better husband, be a better wife, be a better mother. And if the Lord has led your heart in this area, then we invite you to come. As we sing the invitation to him, 496, turn there quickly if you will, in your hymn books. And as we sing this invitation to him, may God just do a work in hearts and lives. And may this Mother's Day be special. Hey, listen, it may be the last Mother's Day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came before next Mother's Day? How many would vote on that? Amen. All right. As we sing this invitation hymn, we would love to have you come forward and love to see you saved. Love to see changed lives. As we sing the invitation hymn, we invite you to come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender
folks, and let's have a great day today and be back for the service this evening. Please, tonight we're going to be taking a special offering for the Washer family and the team. And if you say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be here, and that is, please be back. If you can't be here, take a pink envelope and put a little gift in that and give it to one of our ushers, and or put it back by the welcome desk, and that would be wonderful. But this team has ministered. I think 31 souls is worth a little bit, amen? And so I think we ought to do something special. And so I trust that before you leave, that you'll take one of the pink envelopes in the pew and write down Washer Team or National Hoops, or just put a picture of a basketball on there, and we'll know where it goes. Amen? All right. It is my brother Eddie. Why don't you come? Brother Eddie Bates, I want you to come. Know that they've been going through some challenging times, but this is a dear, dear friend, and you just remember to pray for him. He's been having some rough times, but I'll tell you what, there's no doubt in my mind that he loves the Lord and he's faithful to the Lord. God bless you.
I'm sorry, I interrupt there. Just a couple of announcements. Remember, no victory choir tonight for the young people. And men, don't forget, we'll be singing tonight, 6:15. Meet Pastor Dave in the choir loft. It'll be a great blessing. Also, as you get ready to pray, Brother Bates, remember to pray for the seniors. We'll be headed to New York and Washington, D.C. this week, leaving bright and early. You pray for Chris Failer as he drives, Brandon Cox, Renee Fleming, myself, so we'll be going as chaperones, and just that we have a safe time, an enjoyable time, and that we're a good testimony for Christ as we're out there enjoying a little sightseeing, but also being a testimony of Jesus Christ throughout it all. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you've done on our behalf on Calvary. Lord, I pray that you just give us the, for some people, Lord, it's hard to share the gospel, but Lord, I pray that you would give us the will, Lord, and the urgency and the burden, Lord, to share the gospel with others, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name, amen.